Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right. Did you watch the speech last night there, Mr. Walton?
I watched a certain percentage of it.
I watched maybe 40 minutes had to do the ball game thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching reaction from it this morning.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is as you would expect. The Dow, though, is up 247 points and has hit 21,000 for the first time.
Well,
first closed above 20,000 January 25th.
That seems like a good deal.
Yeah, and it's the best day of 2017 for U.S. stocks, up now 241 points. And it's been fluctuating, but up over 250 on the day today. So up about 1.16%.
You know,
it's pretty good.
Essentially, that was the State of the Union address. But in a president's first term, first year, they don't call it the State of the Union. They just refer to it as an address to both houses of Congress.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, the same thing.
Apparently, business liked it because the Dow is going up.
It seemed oddly enough, and this was the weirdest thing. When I tuned in, I guess I expected to see, you know, which people would be turning their backs and which people would be protesting something and who would probably yell out, "You lie," you know, like happened before.
Yeah.
Stuff of that nature. And really, it wasn't particularly confrontational.
No, he was a little more presidential.
You know, even the cameras weren't purposely going to the faces of the opposition party just to get a reaction. They were just kind of showing the thing.
But one of the things that was really evident was the fact that the Republicans were overly ebullient. I mean, they were up every time he said something.
Well, for the last 8 years, the Democrats gave standing ovations and the Republicans just sat there.
Exactly.
And then the previous 8 years, again, it was reversed.
And the Democrats... the Democratic women were all in white for women's rights.
But I don't know. To me, I guess it seemed a little more civil simply because I felt like most of the people who wanted to protest in some way actually just boycotted the speech.
Yeah, there were a lot of no-shows on the Democratic side. And a couple of Supreme Court justices didn't show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very obvious the divide in the room.
Well, yeah.
Because one half stood up, the other half sat down. I thought the funniest remark that I saw this morning was the reason the Democrats didn't stand and applaud was because their legs were tired from marching. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. That's probably one of the reasons.
Yeah. So Trump adopted a statesmanlike cadence, except for that jaw. Man, his jaw was sticking out like, want to fight? He adopted a statesmanlike cadence, hitting notes of inspiration. For once, this most unorthodox of politicians, according to Fox News, struck a conventional presidential posture as he sought to stabilize his administration.
He's unorthodox. He's not unprecedented, because you think of like Huey Long.
Yeah. But, you know, he did get some social programs in there, and you wonder how that will be accepted.
Well, and he kept talking about
mainstream Republicans.
He kept talking about you know, having tolerance for other people and you know, not treating minorities poorly, and a whole lot of talking points that it almost seemed. There were a few giggles when he started. You could hear, you know, not just a huge amount of laughter, but just giggles from Democrats when he would say something like, "I want to bring this country together," or anything of that nature. One of the things he did is say that he was going to put in a new immigration order since the other one was struck down.
Yeah.
And there
yeah, that
is,
came out actually a little bit earlier in the day.
Yeah. It has actually, the new one has removed Iraq from the list of countries whose citizens face a temporary U.S. travel ban.
So now there's six.
Yeah. Four officials told the Associated Press that the decision followed pressure from the Pentagon and the State Department, which had urged the White House to reconsider Iraq's inclusion on the list, given its key role in fighting the Islamic State group. And again, this made it so that even people who are known by other Iraqis as someone who helped out the Americans, yeah. It means they can't get into the country, and that would definitely be a hardship for them. However, Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, Yemen are going to remain on the ban list, according to those who spoke on condition of anonymity because they didn't want anybody to know their opinion.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said Donald Trump did indeed become presidential tonight, at least certainly more so than he has been.
Seemed to be.
And I think we'll see that reflected in higher approval rating.
You know, and this was similar in a way, I guess, to his inaugural address in that he had to read it as opposed to just think it up as he was going along.
Yeah, which he needs to stop doing, and I think he's heard that. The Trump I heard tonight was focused and disciplined and subdued. It was a lot more uneventful in a good way. Moderate House Republican Charlie Dent told CNN's Tom LoBianco, there were not a lot of distractions tonight. The speech was much better than his inaugural speech, and I would agree with that. KBOI News Time is 8:45.
Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. We're talking about the president's speech today. President signaled action on another key piece of his agenda, tax reform, promising massive relief for the middle classes and cuts in corporate tax. Yet he also pushed for his $1 trillion infrastructure plan and spoke of his effort to boost military spending, not by just a little bit, but by a lot. Given he has also said he will protect entitlements, questions will be asked about how the administration can finance its ambitious plans.
Well, yeah.
Now, where have we heard this before for the last 8 years? Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, exactly.
How are you going to pay for it? They've been asking the Democrats that for 8 years. Now the Democrats are going, who's going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? It boggles the mind.
Well, and of course, the easy answer would be just more deficit spending.
Well, yeah, and what Trump says
but
basically
I kind of think that's what he said he was not going to do.
Yeah, what he has said basically is we're going to pick up the economy, we're going to have more jobs, we're going to have more money, we're going to do all this.
Yeah.
His speech, closely watched around the world, given that his pronouncements on foreign policy have caused some alarm and confusion, there were few details on national security policy to clear up any misconceptions. Recommitted himself to an American first foreign policy. The Democrats just sat there. He also backed NATO as long as its members pay their dues while bemoaning trillions of dollars the U.S. has spent in foreign wars abroad. And we'll talk in the next half hour about the, what did he say, $6
trillion?
Mm-hmm. It's actually 1.7. Which, I mean, it's still a lot of money.
It was different than his inaugural address in that, if you recall, that day, it's like he brought up every bad thing that either has happened or could happen to the United States in the next few years.
I thought the speech was hopeful.
So that, this one was hopeful. The other one was dark.
No, it was very dark.
This one seemed more optimistic. It seemed like he frequently pleaded for bipartisan support. And as I said, those were the
kumbaya.
Times. Those were the times that you could hear some of the Democrats giggling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He seemed considerably more subdued than normal. And again, probably it was because
a little more.
He had finally decided to stick to the script.
Yeah, presidential, diplomat, whatever.
Mm-hmm. A message of unity and strength, he said, and is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Yeah, and a couple of socialistic programs like vouchers, basically, for education for minority students to go to private schools, et cetera, et cetera, which brought some Democrats actually to their feet.
good reviews, naturally, from Republicans.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Vice President Mike Pence said in a short interview with the Today Show this morning, he said, what the American people saw is the president I serve with every day. Now, listen to this. Broad shoulders, big heart. Small hands. I don't know. He could have gone more into it. The White House delayed the signing of his revamped travel ban, saying they were still putting the final touches on the new executive order, but also presumably to avoid competing with positive press from the speech. I mean, let's get this over with first before we disappoint somebody again. Republican leaders were scheduled to join the president for lunch today to discuss how they are going to move forward with key items on the agenda. But I don't know. It's just, do you think he did anything to overcome the divisions that exist in Congress?
A little bit.
I'm guessing that may be too difficult to do.
Yeah, I think he did a little bit. I think he, I don't know. I think he may have ticked off his base a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he moved a little bit, centrist.
He was going. You know, for 2 years now, it's been extreme.
It wasn't that
and
extreme.
It's going to be zero tolerance, and we're going to get rid of this law and order, all those things. And then last night it was,
let's work together here.
Some of the stuff we have could be preserved, I suppose.
And one of the things that I noticed last night, was when he talked about the wall, about building the wall, going to build the wall. He did not say, and Mexico's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Did not say that last night. So,
could be because Mexico has said, no, we aren't.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah. Ted Cruz, a fierce Trump rival in the 2016 GOP primary, said, I thought it was a bold, positive speech. My number one priority in the Senate has always been jobs and economic growth. That's why I was so energized by President Trump's speech. And I thought that the strongest parts of his speech were in business and about business.
This is a good time to bring that stuff up because he has almost gotten to the end of what he can do by executive order.
Yeah,
aren't that many things left.
Yeah, the honeymoon is almost over.
Now it's time to get some cooperation, and I guess that's what he was asking for last night.
Yep. All right, well, check some facts on the president's speech. When we come back after a news break at the top of the hour, KBOI News Time, 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right. We and our duality are here. KBOI News Time, 9:07. We can have all the rhetoric we want, and we can fact check, and we can do all these things about the president's speech. The Dow is up 241 this morning at 21,000 and big change, like 53.99.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first time ever, the Dow is at 21,000.
That seems like a good.
I think that's a good indicator,
there. It does seem like a good indicator. It tends not to affect my life much, but I am glad to see that it sets a new record.
Well, you know, and a lot of people, you know, the Democrats are basically saying, I saw one thing this morning that he has filled his cabinet with billionaires and millionaires. How many poor people were on Obama's cabinet?
Truly poor people? Probably none.
How many? Millionaires, well, maybe not
millionaires. There might have been quite a few millionaires.
Yeah,
I don't know how many billionaires, if any. Probably,
well, maybe not. Maybe no billionaires.
Probably
not.
Unless you consider like Soros.
I mean, you can't be.
You could call Soros a cabinet member ad hoc.
Yeah, you can't. You can't be middle class and be in a presidential cabinet. I'm sorry, you got to have some bucks.
Yeah, well, perhaps.
All right.
I've got a few instant messages
sure.
here. Boise rankled rouser normally Boise rabble rouser, but this time rankled.
He's rankled now.
Says, regarding the speech, the good, Mr. Trump's most coherent speech, most positive in tone.
No question.
Grade for presentation, A. The bad, content was riddled with contradictions. For brevity, here are just two. Opening statement embracing Black History Month 2 days after his Department of Justice dropped out of Texas voter suppression cases regarding the most oppressive voter laws in the country. So that was just, lip service, apparently. And declares he is a champion of clear air and water after he signed executive orders allowing coal industry to dump waste into water.
Well,
and
we're going to get a little bit more into that in a minute.
And the day after he countered Obama's executive order protecting rivers and streams from damaging pollutants.
There you go.
Grade for content, D. Overall grade, C minus, from a former English teacher. Well, well done.
All right. In his first address to a joint session of Congress, the president stuck closely to his prepared remarks, but ran afoul of the facts in some cases. This is Fact Checker.
Mm-hmm.
Take it for what it's worth. And a lot of this is like anything else, like rhetoric. Trump said the U.S. has spent $6 trillion in the Middle East, and with this $6 trillion, we could have rebuilt our country. Well, they've actually only spent $1.7 trillion. It's still a lot of damn money.
Yeah.
$1.7 trillion, but it's not $6 trillion.
But it's less than a third of what he actually said.
Yeah.
So.
He cherry-picked the findings of a recent report saying it found immigration costs U.S. taxpayers billions of dollars a year. The report said immigration has an overall positive impact on long-run economic growth. Now, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Trump said 94 million Americans are out of the labor force. That figure includes the retired, college students, and stay-at-home parents. The vast majority, 88.5 million, say they don't want a job. So 88.5 million out of the 94 million.
So then you're down to 5.5 million who actually are looking for a job and haven't been able to find one.
Yeah. So, and the Republicans constantly use these figures.
Mm-hmm.
Against Obama. Trump said he would promote clean air and clean water, and as you just read.
Right.
A vague claim that came hours after he signed an executive order to roll back a 2015 clean water rule that our listener was talking about.
Right.
And the president repeated claims that have been fact-checked before on border security, welfare, job creation since he was elected, mm-hmm. health insurance, and crime. For instance, he said the U.S. left our own borders wide open for anyone to cross. However, the Border Patrol budget and number of agents both have doubled since 2001.
So if it is wide open, it's not as wide open as it used to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. True.
But probably still wide open.
Trump used the long-term cost estimate to get to his $6 trillion from the $1.7 in a report released
this
month.
Maybe he rounded up to the nearest $6
million. Yeah. The nonpartisan Congressional Research Service said the Department of Defense estimates that the U.S. has spent $1.7, yada, yada. That includes military operations in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, and Libya.
If you write for a magazine or a newspaper—
mm-hmm.
And having done this, I can tell you that everything you write gets fact-checked by several people. Now, in a newspaper, if you've got a 11 p.m. deadline and you're writing something at 10:55, you might be able to slip in a fact here and there, but you better get it right yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or, they're going to, what do they do? Can you, kind of.
Yeah.
Or sack, as the Australians would say. It just seems like the president ought to be able to hire accurate fact checkers who can just simply, if you don't have the correct facts, then keep them out of the speech.
Now, one thing I haven't seen is how many people watch the speech. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I don't think it was as many as saw the end of the Oscars, though.
Yeah, probably not.
Because that was apparently like 34 million.
Yeah. Which is the most watched TV show.
Presidential speeches, I think, definitely were hurt by the invention of cable.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Do you remember not when you were a kid, but when you first got TV or, up till long after, if the president was on that's what was on.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Trump talked about not only cracking down on illegal immigration, but also about changing the current system. He claimed the current system hurts U.S. workers and taxpayers, citing a report by the National Academy of Sciences. Here's what he said. Protecting our workers also means reforming our system of legal immigration. The current outdated system depresses wages for our poorest workers and puts great pressure on taxpayers. Nations around the world, like Canada, Australia, and many others, have a merit-based immigration system. It's a basic principle that those seeking to enter a country ought to be able to support themselves financially. Yet in America, we do not enforce this rule, straining the very public resources that our poorest citizens rely upon. According to the National Academy of Sciences, our current immigration system costs America's taxpayers many billions of dollars a year. The truth is that Trump distorts the findings of the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine in a report released in September. The long-term impact of legal immigration on the overall wages and employment of native-born American workers is very small, according to the report. To the extent that negative impacts occur, they are most likely to be found for prior immigrants or native-born workers who have not completed high school,
all right,
who are often the closest substitutes for immigrant workers with low skills. So, in other words, basically, unskilled workers are the ones that are hurt the most by this.
And, you know, in case anybody was wondering, the National Academy of Sciences is a real thing. It's the science branch of what are called the United States National Academies, simply. And it's not a government organization, but it is a nonprofit. So they don't have any particular, you know, let's put it this way. There's nothing much in it for them if they simply agree with Trump about something.
Yeah.
But it just seems
it's nonpartisan.
It seems weird that he would be choosing to quote them, because I know for a fact that he does ignore some of what they say.
Yeah. Overall, the report found that immigration is integral to the nation's economic growth and has an overall positive impact on long-run economic growth in the U.S.
The more instant messages here. Okay, well, we need to take a break, and I'll have instant messages. We'll hear from H.G. McCall after this.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI rewards code Dow. Dow's going nuts this morning. D-O-W up to 60 at 21072.
I mentioned before the break I was going to read the instant message from H.G. of McCall. H.G. says, I heard an interview, can't remember the man's name. He explained how Mexico would pay for a wall. It goes beyond just pulling out money to pay for it. Can't remember the details, but money becomes available through enforcing the border laws. I wish I could remember the details, but it made sense in that money becomes available when the border is controlled.
I saw that, too, and basically what the report ended up saying was it would kill the middle class in Mexico.
Yeah. H.G. goes on, I think the wall, if done correctly, would save the lives of so many who cross the border illegally and die in the desert or in the back of packed trucks. Also, I think those who sat sour-faced during President Trump's entrance to Congress are very disrespectful. After all, this is the president of the United States, even if they don't agree. Well,
same thing happened
again,
to Obama.
Exactly. And Bush before that, and Clinton before that, and they all do it.
They all do
it. H.G. says, I've lived through 70 years of presidents, and I will respect each and every one, even if I don't agree
good
with
them.
Good
for you. I agree.
It's a good thing to do. Respect the office.
No question.
Even if you know, can't stand whoever's in there. Real quickly here, James of Meridian says, I don't believe Trump alienated his base at all. He marginalized his critics. Nancy Pelosi's scour
was... I think there was some of that.
Yeah. Was in stark contrast to Trump's optimism. Anytime he can pull that off, his base will applaud. By the way, Obama was such a good speaker, he could phone it in and pull off a great speech. Trump showcased a new talent, which has to have his critics a little worried. Sure didn't look like a White House in chaos to me.
It was by far his best speech.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, not even close.
Of course, if anything is in chaos, he's not going to mention it during that speech.
No. Trump did say more than one in five people in their prime working years are not working.
Mm-hmm.
That might be true if you count stay-at-home parents, the disabled, and those in school.
But that would make the, if you didn't count those people, and that is an accurate stat, then that would mean we have 20% unemployment.
Yeah.
Which I don't think.
As Trump took office in January, the unemployment rate among those 25 to 54 was 4.1%. So basically, one in 25
mm-hmm.
who wanted work and looked couldn't find it.
There was a thing this morning. I didn't catch all of it, but Nancy Pelosi said something about, she compared, I don't have the exact quote, but she compared the president to a bad boyfriend. And somebody else...
She compared to a bad boyfriend?
The president.
Oh,
to a bad boyfriend. And somebody else said that somebody else pointed out that he's getting praise this morning for not, you know, going off the cuff and insulting people.
There's some
and
of that.
Stuff.
That's true.
And she said, that's like, you know, having a husband or a boyfriend that beats you up, and the one night he doesn't, you just give him praise for that. Like, he's such a good guy. Once in a while, he doesn't beat me up.
Well, or your thing. 364 days a year, he didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, exactly. And people have actually said that in court. I only killed one guy. It's not like I do this every day.
Yeah. So that's one guy a year?
Yeah.
So 20 years from now, you'll have killed 20?
I told you. And people look at things with a different perspective. I had a cousin. I was driving him home one time, and he said, you can speed up on this road. You know, and it said speed limit 35. And so I was probably doing, you know me, I was probably doing 32.
Yeah.
Or 29. And he said, you can speed up on this road. The whole time I've lived here, I've only gotten 3 tickets. Now, that's a different perspective than I look at that problem.
Yeah, because you don't ever want to get a
ticket. I don't ever want to get a ticket. I don't even want to get pulled over on suspicion that I was going too fast.
Yeah.
But he, according to him, and I think at the time he was about 19, so he'd been driving for maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
And he'd only had 3 tickets. And as far as he was concerned, heck, that was...
Hey, it's one a year. Come on, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, come on. 364 days a year, I'm not going to get pulled over.
KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Paul, Jay, and Chris defragging, if you will, the president's speech from last night. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich, good morning.
Oh, there's just a couple of things. One thing kind of on the humorous side, when you were reading that text about somebody that... said they read about some way to pay for the wall. They just couldn't remember what it was. Did that come from Trump? He doesn't seem to really have any ideas how we're going to do
well,
it.
Well, it was something about taxes or whatever, and the thing I saw said it would end up killing the middle class in Mexico.
Basically his speech, I mean, it was kind of a beauty contestant speech. There's very few things in that speech that I don't want to have happen, too. You know, I mean,
I thought he had some good moments.
Yeah, I mean, I'm for jobs coming back and stuff, but at some point, he's going to have to tell us two things, like how he plans on paying for it. He's not going, you know, he took credit for all of those companies that are invested in the United States, and a lot of them, they had announced it. You know, before the election, and a company doesn't come up and decide to spend $100 billion. You know, they in a few months, that's over years.
Yeah, that's in the fact checker thing too. That most of the stuff had been in the works.
But he has all these wonderful things. But he's still. I mean, it's not a campaign anymore. At some point, he's going to have to actually start coming up with some details. That's the problem. He doesn't have any details, so he can't be criticized. You know, he's going to make this health care system great, but he doesn't say how he's going to pay for it, how he's going to do anything.
Well, now you're asking the same questions everybody was asking Obama. How are you going to pay for that?
Well, exactly. But Obama did raise taxes, and the Affordable Care Act is paid for because he did raise taxes. The Democrats took a bunch of heat from that, because, but they actually did pay for it. And that's kind of the difference. If Trump comes up, you know, if he's going to raise some taxes, or if he's going to do this to pay for his stuff, then it's just a matter of agreeing or disagreeing with what he wants to do.
Yeah, basically he has said, I'm sorry. Basically, though, Trump has said that he is going to improve the economy by bringing back jobs, by having more people working in the country for better wages, et cetera. And that's going to lead to more taxes, which will pay. I mean, you're right. He hasn't exactly said we're going to do A, B, C, but he's floated out there that everything is going to improve economically because of my business acumen, and that will help us pay for all this.
But that's never worked in the past.
I know. I'm just telling you what I'm telling you.
I remember a young Paul Schneider of about 14 years ago when someone was calling in and trying to convince you that we could, by cutting taxes, we could reduce the deficit. I don't know if you remember the conversation, but you were real skeptical about that working, and they were saying, oh, Paul, that's just economy 101. And
I'll be the first to admit, economically, I'm not.
It's never worked. Brumback tried it in Kansas, Bush, once he starts having some economic growth, then start spending money on all these things he wants. But, you know, I just don't want to get back into a huge, massive debt again, and then in 5 years have the economy collapse because it's heated up artificially. I just don't want to go through all that again. I don't think we can as a country. I don't think we could afford to have another crisis like that. I don't think we have enough money in reserve.
Yeah, we might not. Thanks, Rich, for the call. Interesting.
Brent of Boise says, just so I understand, the lady Democrats were dressed to imitate the KKK to advance the rights of women. Weird, isn't it? No, I think they kind of... I don't think they consider themselves to be dressed like the Ku Klux Klan as much as dressed like maybe Florence Nightingale.
We have seen that picture, by the way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
there's an email going around that's got a comparison.
Yeah, and pictures of the women in white. And then
the KKK,
yeah,
right. Yeah.
Exactly. Basically, it was for equal treatment of women.
Let's see. This is Dave of Boise. He says, I missed President Trump's speech. Could someone please tell me if he is going to excuse the Obamacare fine if I can't afford to join the program? If not,
didn't mention that.
If not, could you please find someone to come on your show brave enough to say, yes, there is a fine, or no, there is not a fine? Why do we have to have insurance at all? Why can't there just be fixed, affordable medical prices so that the average Joe does not need insurance?
Okay, now we looked this up, Chris, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is... yes, there is a fine.
People act like we can't live without insurance. It's just wrong. It seems we are looking at things backward. Things should be getting better, cheaper, easier, but it's not. Now, the announcement that was made sometime in the past month, the IRS, last year, their policy was if you did not check the box that said you did, in fact, have insurance of some sort, then they would not accept your tax return. They would send it back to you. This year, the rule is if you don't have insurance, they will still accept your tax return. They'll still process it and everything.
However.
However, you still probably will have to pay a fine at some point.
Yeah. Or at least may have to pay a fine at some point.
Yeah.
The fine is still on the table. So.
That's true. Nothing is probably a sure thing.
Nope. All right. We got some phone calls. Let's go to Pat of Middleton. Pat, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I know why you have Rich on, and that's why I'm calling, because he drives me nuts. I mean, that old booger just don't know jack doodly squat. I'm self-employed, been self-employed for 30 years. Let me tell you something. Every time the economy improves, I have more money to spend. That's all I need to know, whether or not we're going to have tax revenues to spend that when the economy improves. That's just stupid. The trickle-down economics works every time it's applied. They just got to try it. My economy went up last year. You know what I did? I spent some money on remodeling my house. because I didn't like what it looked like for 20 years. So I put a new floor in. I put some new kitchen stuff in. It's bull that it doesn't work. He's just dumb. I don't get how he can't figure it out. And you know what? That was a fantastic speech. He made the country feel good, and that's what we needed at this time more than anything, was to feel good about being Americans again.
You mean like Reagan used to do?
Like Reagan.
Yeah, very much.
He came out and was proud that this is Black History Month. Then he respected the Jews that were being terrorized in our country. He honored a woman who lost her husband in battle for protection of our country. And those Democrats could not stand up for any of those great things. And that was sad. Very, very sad. But, Rich, you got to come on. Watch what I'm watching. Have a clue. Get a life, dude. But the economy grows, I grow. Every time I hire more people, I spend more money, tax revenues come in. It works every time. When it doesn't work, I'm in the poorhouse wondering, what am I going to do next?
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Pat. KBOI News Time, 9:45.
Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
All right, we are back. Let's get to the phone. We got a lot of people on the phones. Let's go to Steve of Boise. Steve.
Good morning, guys. You know, it's basically logistics. Would 300 million people paying $5 be more than 10,000 people paying $100?
Yes,
and that's in essence what happens with our taxes. When everybody is contributing to the system and somebody's not draining the system, then we do better. That's why cutting taxes sometimes can actually lead to more revenue for the government, because you've got quantity. And it's funny, the Democrats talk about quantity in certain things, but they don't talk about it in other things. And the economy is somewhere where it can really make a difference. And that's what Reagan did. He lowered the income taxes from, what, 38% to 28% or something? I don't remember exactly what the numbers were. But certainly, when we all participate, when we all get involved, it all works well.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Steve. Let's move on to Randy of Magic Valley. Randy, good morning.
Well, JFK did the same thing. And something we need to remember, that confidence is extremely important. And when you feel like you have a stable leader, whether or not anybody wants to believe it or not, I really believe that he really is going to be a good man, and he cares about his country, and he's going to run this thing as efficiently as he can possibly do it. But consumer confidence is up. Right after 9/11, consumer confidence went through the roof because people said, well, we're not going to take this as America, and we're going to do the thing. And it's up now higher than it was then after 9/11. And then investor confidence. When you have investor confidence, you have people that are willing to invest in businesses, and people can create. You know, the American spirit is unlimited if we allow it to be so. And investors and inventions and happiness, pursuit of happiness. And, you know, I feel sorry for Rich. I know everybody beats up on him. And, you know, I don't know if he was self-employed or not. But you see, when you're self-employed, I've been self-employed all my life, virtually since I was old enough to be that way. And the thing of it is sometimes when there's doubt and people are worried, it makes your heart on all of us. I'll hang up, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks,
you know,
Randy.
There's a certain amount of truth to that, because I think a lot of what happened in the 80s had to do with psychology.
Yeah, I think that's,
you know, that's... Everybody was like, hey, everything's great. And people said, wow, everything must be great.
Yeah, that's a lot of truth to that.
I mean, I hate to be lied to in that manner, but if it's not that bad, then yeah, it could be great.
Yeah. Roger, you got about a minute.
I think you guys have a bit player in Rich. I think he's playing the Soviet commissar role pretty good there. But anyway, I like what Trump had to say, you know, as far as getting rid of regulations and that. I know for myself, I have a small business, and with extra things, it's just really makes it difficult to hire more people. The overhead is just ridiculous. And as far as cutting taxes, it does work. Look at Kennedy. and Reagan did it. The only reason Reagan had deficits was that the Democrats backed out on the deal where they would do some budget cuts too, and they didn't. They increased the budget on him. But anyway, yeah, I thought it was overall good, and hopefully he's successful.
All right, good stuff. Thanks. I guess we got time. Rick, you got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on a subject I haven't heard. Is if you notice when they was paying respects to Ryan and his wife, that the whole house was up and the Democrat side was down. It took them forever to stand, and when they did, it was like they was on to tell the people. So I was infuriated by that. I haven't heard anybody talk.
Yeah, there's been a lot of pictures, et cetera, on the web. Thanks for the call about that kind of stuff. And
I think
not a good look.
I thought the fact that they weren't booing was kind of a plus. I mean, you know, they might not have been standing.
I mean,
cheering,
the room was obviously divided all night long.
And it always is.
With
the State of the Union or whatever they called last night.
Yeah, State of
You know what? This is not my first president I've ever lived through, and I never knew before that they didn't refer to the first State of the Union address of a president as the State of the Union.
Yeah, it's funny how they brought that out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they kept saying he's going to address both houses of Congress. And I thought, yeah, it's the State of the Union.
State
right?
of the Union. Like,
well, yes and no.
Yeah, mainly no. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for today. We are out of time. KBO High News time is 9:55. We'll be back tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll have the Republicans in on a majority Thursday, followed on Friday by the Democrats in the state legislature.
On Minority Friday.
Yep. KBO High News time, 9:56.